Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Sunday, February 2nd.
Woohoo!
That means it is time for our weekly bracket rundown show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We got Matt Zukowski and David Griggs up top here. John Tytel and Mike Chaw down below. Expect at least one or two others to be jumping in here, but we wanted to get going tonight, so we're moving right along. But this is our bracket rundown show where we are going to be, in a few minutes here, revealing a consensus bracket, almost Selection Sunday style. But while we wait for a couple of others to join in, and while we get, I figure we get going here on a little blind resume to start things off. How about that?
Oh, I love blind resume.
Blind resume time. And I pulled up a couple of resumes
Oh,
here.
those are easy.
These are easy. All right, Griggs, and I'm not going to
Yeah.
ask you about them. I
Well, I
do
don't
want
know who they are. I just know they're easy.
to. Tytel, we got two teams here, left and right. Which do you like better, if or do you think they're about even, and or any other thoughts when you take a look at them?
Couple things. Brightside is a bit of a home court hero as they are 1-5 on the road. As far as metrics, the resume metrics lean to the right. The predictive metrics lean to the left, which I think is why the OAR is about equal. So I think you did an excellent job picking two teams. I will lean left only because there's a lot of tier two losses. Sorry, I will lean right because there's a lot of tier two losses on the left, and I will predict that the team on the right is SEC because of all the high single digit nets on the right.
Right, well, let me get a couple of opinions here. Matt, I want to bet you like the team on the left because their predicted metrics are better. And we know you're a predicted
Yes, and
metric
I
guy.
think the list I submitted, because I think I know the two teams, and I think I had the team on the left a couple of spots ahead of the team on the right.
Well, Mike, let me get your thoughts here. Do you punish the team on the left because the losses are at the top of tier two versus the bottom of, well, bottom and middle of tier one?
Not necessarily because the tier two losses, they're all on the road, and they're not bad. And plus, they're all in the very top part of the tier two. So I don't think they should be punished too bad for that.
And I know Rocco Miller's not with us. One of the metrics we know he loves to look at is record versus top quadrants. I look at this, I see 5 and 6 versus the top two, and 9 and 6 versus the top three on the left, 5 and 7 and 7 and 7 on the right.
Oh, I think I. No, it's not them. All right.
Well, Griggs, Tytel predicted that there was at least one SEC team here, but you want to take a shot at guessing them, or give your thoughts on them and then take a shot at guessing?
I'm thinking. I don't want too much dead air. I don't know who it is. Is one of them Georgia by chance?
Is that who you? I see a couple nods, Ed. And how about the team on the right is Georgia?
Okay. Yeah, I thought that one, just because of, yeah, really underwhelming on the road and a couple of decent wins. The one on the left, I'm not sure of. I'm thinking it's not St. Mary's, is it? No, St. Mary's is way better on the road than that.
Yeah, Matt, any thoughts? Because I thought you
Yeah.
since.
Yeah, because they're one. I don't know. I would probably have them the highest of anyone. The team on the left is BYU, who I think definitely
Yeah.
should be in now.
That is a
No.
winner of a selection there, and two teams heading in opposite directions, I think, as well. BYU, four wins in a row, Georgia losing games.
BYU's no fun to bracket. I mean, for that reason alone, I like the team on the right.
Well, Tytel, is it really is it really time to start getting serious about talking about BYU being in this field at this point?
Absolutely. I think I came close, but no cigar to adding them to my list tonight. Overall record's good. The road win yesterday at UCF, good. Beating Baylor looks better now after Baylor's performance this weekend. Certainly, again, I don't love the tier two, but they are top of tier two, like you said. They're all on the road. Most of them are close, except for the Providence one. I think that BYU, if they beat my Wildcats this week, I hope not, but if they do, I could certainly see them cracking the bracket.
Well,
John, I did want to ask you about this because there is a big no-no on their resume for any bubble team, and that is that non-conference strength of schedule being as poor as it is. Is that an issue and a reason? The committee has flat out said they've left teams out that were on the bubble for that reason.
I think the committee is really taking that more and more seriously, and they'll find ways to they'll punish you if you schedule
Yeah.
poorly.
I mean, not that Georgia's is great, but BYU's is among
In the bottom 100 of the nation.
Yeah. 221's not bad, but 291's really bad.
Yeah, 221's not good either, but like
Right.
it's, yeah.
67th percentile, roughly.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, John, like any comments on that? Is that going to hurt them?
It will if they end up like 19 and
Rocco.
12. But
Yeah.
again, like since they don't have any bad games left because they're all against top 100 teams in the Big 12, I think if they get several more wins in conference, they should get several more points in strength of schedule.
Yeah, and Mississippi Valley big win yesterday. So I mean without that win it may have been 295 or something.
Still 364 despite the win Mississippi Valley had. They couldn't even pass Pine Bluff. Rocco Miller joining us, by the way, from bracketeer.org. Rocco, we were just about to get to the bracket reveal. We just finished our blind resume.
Yeah, Rocco, any guesses as to who these teams are?
Now you I'm gonna go with BYU and Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. Oh, wow. Wrong team.
Right first letter and
BYU
right last letter
and
and
Oh,
same number of
Georgia. Yeah,
letters.
the print is very small.
Okay.
Oh, BYU and Georgia it is.
Yep. We were just talking about the fact that BYU is one of those teams that is trending up, and we'll find out a few if they actually made our bracket or not here. But this is what we're going to do tonight. We're going to be revealing the bracket kind of Selection Sunday style, although what we'll do is one team at a time through the top 16 teams in the nation, then one seed line at a time from the five line all the way down through. But what the way we compile this was each of us that's on the show, along with our friends John Stalica and David Dorman. Actually, Rocco, you did not vote, but everyone else on the show and the two of
Yeah,
them
renegade.
submitted a list of their top 55 teams in the nation, regardless of conference. I cross country scored all of those and came out with a consensus bracket from our group. And that's pretty much how we're going to do this. And we're going to start revealing it. And we'll discuss each of these teams here. And I'll be able to call out a few of you that really had some outliers. And Griggs, I almost considered not even counting your votes because of some of the way you voted for some teams, but I did. And we'll get to that in a minute.
Well, my
But
votes are. I think we should just bracket my seed list.
any doubt that the Auburn Tigers are the number one team in the nation? Mike,
Hey,
I mean, this team is just
I'm
so
one for
darn
one so far. All right.
Yeah.
Were you just throwing that out there?
Yeah, I just
No,
want to throw
there's
that.
no
Go ahead.
doubt at all. Not only is it the most impressive resume this year, it's one of the more impressive ones that I can remember. There is another team that I think is going to end up on the one line that is also an extraordinary resume, but it's not even as good as it is, it's not as good as Auburn's, at least not yet.
And I don't know that we spent much too time on that, or too much time on team that's number two, titled Duke Blue Devils. I mean, what they did in North Carolina yesterday was disgusting.
A famous bald man once told me that it always delivers, but I assure you it did not deliver in Durham on Saturday as Duke blew the Tar Heels off the court. Cooper Flagg looks like a legit number one pick, so I hope that the Wizards fans are already making their jersey purchases on his behalf. I've seen some stuff in the media that Duke is gonna get some votes for number one in the poll or should be even with Auburn, but when you're perfect in the SEC, you're perfect in the SEC. But Duke's resume is fantastic, obviously.
Yeah, Rocco, I mean, the Duke might be great, but I think that Auburn profile is crazy good, other than the fact that who was Auburn's one loss? It was Duke.
Right, yeah, but it was a road game at Cameron, so
Yes.
it's an almost an expected loss. Obviously, Auburn's been unbeatable, and they have a ton of great road wins. Just got another one at Ole Miss yesterday, which is probably their best road win, actually, with Georgia and Texas on that list. But Auburn's surplus of wins, it's just so much heavier than anything Duke can do. And I think the biggest problem is Duke's got two losses and Auburn has one. And so there's a lot of things working against Duke besides the head-to-head.
Yeah. Did I count right? 20 or 12 out of their 20 wins are tier one.
Something like that.
I'm not the
I
best
think it's 13.
mathematician. Oh,
It
it's
was 12
13.
on Friday, so it should be 13 now.
No,
Okay.
Mississippi State fell out of tier one on Saturday.
Yeah,
They're
Mississippi State
going.
just fell to two, but they have
Well,
14.
I mean, and that just totally submarines their profile.
Yeah,
Good goodness.
I just don't get what they did scheduling Vermont, Monmouth, and Georgia State. I mean, that was really disappointing.
Yeah, I know.
Number three overall, this is where we start to get a little bit of divergence, but I think it was fairly unanimous. Matt, the Crimson Tide came in at number three.
Yeah, they've put so forth. Auburn's doing that C play. Alabama's not far behind. And that I think have clearly played their way solidly onto the one line. I think, yeah, it's a pretty clear, I think, 1-2-3. That was, yeah, like, I was wrote that down. Didn't even need to take a look at the team sheet that year ago. Auburn 1, Duke 2, Alabama 3.
And
A
God,
after
that
that's when the
is,
research had to really start coming in.
yeah. Alabama's profile, I actually like it more than Duke, personally. But I think Duke. I think the real committee would put Duke as number two, and I figured ours would as well. But neutral against Houston in a game, you know, and at Texas A&M, at Kentucky, at Mississippi State. These are teams that typically don't lose at home, although Mississippi State certainly lost at home on Saturday. But I mean, still, just it tops out so high.
Yeah, look at the remaining schedule for the Tide too. Two games against Auburn, at Tennessee. You got a Florida home game in there, and then you got a couple easier tests like at Texas, home Kentucky, home
Yeah.
Mississippi State,
Jeez.
at Arkansas, who just won at Kentucky. I mean, wow.
At Tennessee. Yeah.
Let's take a look here. Number four overall, fairly close to being unanimous. Not quite unanimous though. Mike, you just mentioned Tennessee. How about our third SEC team on the one line? The Volunteers,
Yeah, for me, it was
after what they
between
did to
Tennessee
Florida.
and Iowa State. And I think when Iowa State, I mean, you lose at Arizona on a miracle shot, that's one thing. But then you lose at home to Kansas State, that didn't sit too well with me. Whereas Tennessee didn't have their point guard, and they still found a way to beat Florida, which is an excellent team. So that they made the difference for me. I mean, it's close, but I go with Tennessee for now.
Yeah, and how about that, Tytel? Iowa State now has a blemish on the record that none of the teams we've looked at has.
Iowa State has lost at West Virginia, at Arizona, and to Kansas State. You know what the same thing is in all three games? Milan Momcilovic not playing. When healthy, this team loses only to Auburn. This team,
In overtime.
I
No,
hear Tennessee a lot
last
this
second
week
shot.
going,
Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
I know
there's a
injuries are a
strong case to
factor,
be
but
made.
you can't ignore the losses either. I mean, what do you do?
You put an asterisk next to them and say, oh, one of their best players didn't play in this game, Mike.
Yeah.
I gotta say, Tennessee, sure, they beat Florida by 20, but they still lost the aggregate by 10 on the season series.
Yeah,
No,
and
oh
I
yeah.
mean was that Chad Sherwood, the I hate soccer person, making a soccer reference?
Yeah, I know a little bit. I know this much about soccer, and aggregate's one of the few words I know. Let's take a look. Rocco, I think it's no surprise Iowa State was number five overall, starting out our two line, right there in the Midwest. And let me ask you, do you think there's a case that Iowa State should still be on the one line?
No, I don't think so. I agree with Mike a little bit on the you boiled the ocean losing by 19 at home to Kansas State, a team that's not 500 at all. And yeah, Kansas State's talented and maybe they'll get better and that won't look as bad later. But for today, that gives them something that nobody else has. And I think you still have to qualify it because if you want to use the Milan Momcilovic example, well, they beat Kansas without Momcilovic by 17 points. They won at Arizona State without Momcilovic. They beat UCF by 25 without Momcilovic. So they've already proven to the committee and to us that they're still a damn good team without him. And so what Kansas State did yesterday is very relevant to me. And yeah, I just thought, after those top three, Chad, we had the entire ocean boiled for the next like five or six options.
Yep.
So Iowa State's lucky to be five because if some of those teams would have actually just won, they might have fallen much further.
It was a crazy Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of top 25 teams lost.
I need to take a second here to call out Mr. Griggs as I pull up number six here. It was fairly unanimous that this team was right here on the two line by everybody other than Mr. Griggs, who would have had them rated 19th overall, which is why I wanted to disqualify your entire ballot, Griggs. So I'm going to give you a few seconds here. Why the hell did you think Florida was the 19th best team when all the rest of us rightly believe they were a two seed?
Well, yeah, okay, if you pull them up, one of
Okay,
the
go
things
ahead.
I
Go
started to
ahead. I
notice
didn't want to count your ballot, but go ahead.
was the home win against Tennessee was good, but then they went there and lost. Texas, not the best road team. And then North Carolina and Arkansas, not, I just didn't think they topped out that high, and a lot of everybody else did. And it's just, they don't have a win on their profile that anybody between now and when I seeded them, I don't think would have also won.
So you think anybody out there could have won? Could it be
Not
in Tennessee?
anybody,
Could it
but
be in
the.
Tennessee by 30 points at home? I just want to make certain that
No, but I think they could have lost the aggregate by 10, as you like to say.
Matt, do you want to sit him right about the Florida Gators?
It's one of those where I can see, hey, maybe if you want to dig into a three, like, and I think had some results gone differently yesterday, I might have had him as a three seed because their profile isn't super strong at the top, but. Everything like they're strong in all both the resume and predictive metrics. And with like yes, win over bubble seven. So like put it this way, we have him six, the wins over bubble seven. So basically like all but seven teams would do worse against the schedule.
Sure, but then again, they've not beaten anybody. I don't have anybody seated ahead of them, I don't think, that they have managed to beat.
They
Beat
beat
Tennessee.
I have Tennessee seated. Yes, okay, I have Tennessee seated ahead of them, as
By
do we
30.
all.
They beat them by 30.
And yeah, and then lost by 20.
So
Yeah,
they still won the aggregate by
it's fun.
10.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a blowout
Well, yeah,
exchange
they
program.
won the aggregate by 10.
They won the aggregate by 10. That's right.
Yeah.
So if you'd play
In
this on a
soccer,
neutral
they're
court,
moving
they would
on.
have won by 10.
That's how it was. That's the idea. Yeah. It was an 80-minute aggregate. Oh. Okay.
Let's go on here. Tytel. Houston coming in at number seven. Yet
See.
another team coming off of a loss yesterday, and what an amazing game that was against Texas Tech, though.
What a week. They beat Kansas in double overtime, coming from impossibly low win probabilities. And then they lose Texas Tech's best player, JT Toppin, by kicking somebody in the nuts. They lose their coach, Grant McCaslin, by arguing about his guy kicking somebody in the nuts. And then they have the intestinal fortitude, ironically, to like hang with the Cougars on the road, win the game in overtime. With the assistant coach out coaching Kelvin Sampson, like I still can't believe it happened. I'm glad for Arizona's profile did, as we've already lost to Texas Tech as well, but an amazing win by Texas Tech.
Yeah, and
Amazing, but
Houston, you look at the win at Kansas, the win at West Virginia, the win at UCF, and you're like, wow, that's better than what Florida's done.
Matt, though, you are a predictive metrics guy, and despite that loss, BPI and Torvik still have them as the number one team in the nation.
Yeah, that's one. Like, yeah, obviously, real strong in the metrics. Their profile is pretty close to caught up to the metrics. So that's when still like put it this way: had they won that Texas Tech game, they probably would have been my number four team on this ballot.
Especially because of
Wouldn't
how everyone kept losing.
they?
Finishing out the two seeds, Mike, you're our Big Ten guy, and this is our first Big Ten team, and it's now the Boilermakers who have surpassed Michigan State.
Well, yeah, I mean, Michigan State might have grabbed that final two spot, but they fell to USC on Saturday. So if it's going to be a Big Ten team, why not Purdue? Purdue's playing very well. They squeak out a win against their state rival Indiana, but it's a win. And then Marquette also lost over the weekend. So I mean, when other teams lose, that means someone else is going to step up, and that's Purdue.
Yeah,
And
a
this might have
couple of
almost,
loss. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
yeah, I was going to say Rocco. This is almost been, you might be right. This was might have almost been a default pick because it's one of the few teams in this group that actually won this
Right.
weekend.
Yeah,
Right.
Kentucky. Kentucky lost. I mean.
I think coming into the weekend, Purdue was a fringe 2-3. I had them on the three seed side of things, but it really cleared up the picture. Michigan State was basically getting away with a two seed as the representative from the Big Ten as a projected auto qualifier with a 14-2 record in meaningful games. So that's such a strong record. You would have to respect it. And if you were putting Ohio State in the field, like I had to hold my nose and do last Friday, they actually had a road win over the field. So that might change tonight. We'll see. But Purdue is just sitting there very worthy of a two seed, just basically picking splitting hairs to figure out who deserves it. So I agree, Purdue belongs as a two. I think my biggest struggle at this very moment, fellas, is debating between Houston staying a two or bringing up a team in Texas A&M who has 9 wins against the field and has just been incredibly consistent above Houston. Whereas Houston's the team we're all, most teams are afraid to play. They're very intimidating. Their metrics are through the roof in the performance side, but Houston does just have the 11th best resume right now.
And
That's where I was struggling.
if you look at Texas A&M and Purdue that we just seeded, can you pull Purdue back up real quick? And you're like, man, I mean, they have that win against Alabama that's so good. Ole Miss on a neutral floor at Oregon. I know Oregon's sort of an oddity because they tend to do better away from home than at home, including the game they're currently playing. But you look at that, and you're like, wow, that's pretty good. That's even better than what Florida has done.
Let me jump in here with two things. First of all, these team sheets were pulled up. If you want to see them, they are on the website right up top there where it says team sheets. Second of all, Briggs just noted we are recording this around. We started a little after 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. That means this Nebraska Oregon game that we are watching as we record this is not factored in. So when we get to discussing one or both of these teams here, we could discuss if this game was final, how that might affect how we move them. But right now, that game was not factored in. Number 9 overall, start off the three line, Matt. It was not even that A&M team, it was your Marquette team, another one of these teams that is that suffered a loss this weekend.
Well, I had A&M 8, Marquette 9, and Purdue 10, basically in the order of A&M beat Purdue on a neutral, so that's basically how I saw that. And then Marquette beat Purdue so comprehensively at home, and all their profiles are so similar. So that's why I said A&M is the bottom two seed, Marquette the top three, Purdue is the second three, but there we go. So I ended up having Marquette at 9, kind of in order due to a little simplistic because their resumes are so similar. That's how we end up, yeah, like 11-4 compared to 12-5 for A&M. So, but roughly the same against the top two quadrants. And then we're kind of slightly better, 14-4 to 12-5 against meaningful games, as Rocco would say.
All right, fair enough. And so number 10 overall, Texas A oh, wait a second. Now, how about Michigan State also prepared over Texas A&M? I don't think I agreed with this, but this is where the ballots came in at least. I would have had A&M a lot higher than this as well, but let's see here. Tytel, should Michigan State still be above A&M? Also another team, Sparty, coming off a loss.
That Texas Tech win is looking
Yes,
good.
only because I assumed a loss at USC in 2025 would be a tier two loss, but as you show, it is a tier one loss. So I have no problem with the Spartans being right here. Predictive and resume look great. Tom Izzo wins games in March, even if he struggles in February. So I got no problem with this at all.
Rocco, you want to take the counter to that? Do you think Sparty should be a little lower?
Well, I think my biggest problem with Sparty is their road damage is limited, and North Carolina and Ohio State likely out of the field, at least where I'm sitting so far. I haven't gone through the full exercise. That's why it's fun to do this on Sundays together as a family here. But A&M, obviously, you look at the top of the profile, that Texas Tech win looks way better than it did yesterday when we woke up. And I woke up today and refreshed the strength of resume, and you can see it here on Chad's screen that they're fourth in the country. Actually, it's not updated on yours, but if you go to the website right now, they are number four.
I might have
And
updated, but I th this was as about 7 o'clock this morning. Could have updated after that, so
yeah,
that could be
they
it.
suck. They wait till like 10 a.m. I don't like it,
Okay.
but that's why it takes me forever to post my bracket because I always wait for that update. Anyway, trust me on this. Texas A&M's number four in resume, and I think if that's where they're sitting, they belong on the top two seed lines. In the best conference in America.
I mean, I agree with that. All of that. Like, I'm a little surprised that A&M has fallen this low.
Well, they
There
did come
they
in at
are.
number 11. There they are out in the West region also. As a result of dropping to number 11, they might have to go out to San Francisco and play as opposed to somewhere a little bit closer. Although Atlanta, Newark, and Indy being the other choices, there's not anywhere that's really close to A&M in terms of the regional sites. But beyond that, number 12 overall, Mike, let me bring you back in here. How about Kentucky? Despite the home loss to Arkansas, does hold on to a three seed.
Yeah, that in this case they're lucky because yes, they did lose on Saturday, but so did a lot of other top tier teams. So they don't get hurt too bad. Let's see, I'm just trying to check. I did have Kentucky 11, so it's just right that they're the last three seed. You got Michigan State, Kentucky, and A&M. It's all pretty close among those three. But like I said, a lot of top teams lost, so that's where Kentucky is lucky that they're still holding the three line.
Yeah, and Griggs, they just have a collection of wins that just, even with the tier two loss on the profile now, Duke, Tennessee, Florida, Gonzaga, A&M. I mean, that's just amazing, isn't it?
It really is, and not all of their losses are bad losses. But when you look at like Georgia, Ohio State, Vanderbilt, it's just sort of you. It's one of those profiles, and it's not the only one that's like this, where you scratch your head at how high it tops out, and then I guess the range between their floor and their ceiling is kind of big. You look at Auburn, their floor is a very, very close loss at Duke, all the way up to the top. This is, Ohio State, Vanderbilt, home loss to Arkansas, who only has one other road win, but their collection of wins is why you would continue to seed them in this area.
Fair enough. Tytel, number 13 overall, starting out our four line. We have the Kansas Jayhawks in here. They did get a four seed, although I would argue as I pull their profile up that they've not had a meaningful win since November.
But they had a quite good November with wins over a couple teams called Duke and Michigan State. No horrible losses. I think that West Virginia 1 point loss is stands out because it's in tier two, but I would not be surprised if it keeps going up to tier one if DeVries ever gets healthy, Tucker DeVries. Schedule in the Big 12 gives them plenty of chances. But yes, can I sugarcoat blowing a 21-point lead to Baylor? Absolutely not. They choked.
They suffer. This is a team that I believe the stat was, Rocco, that they were over 90% chance to win each of their last two games that they lost and blew
Yeah.
them both. Is that correct? Or two of the last three games, was it?
Yeah, I think that's true.
The Houston, the Baylor games, they had an over 90% chance to win both of those and blew
Isn't
them.
that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of that's just terrible luck, but they honestly put themselves in that position in certain ways as well, with missed free throws, bad organization, et cetera. We could pick that thing apart. At the end of the day, this exercise is about just judging the results. So but it is crazy. It is crazy. The math is like, what happened there? It doesn't make sense. But yeah, Kansas, I have 13 overall. Just,
We're nailed them. Yep.
right where we have them. So I think that's good. I did though. And I don't know if you want me to mention teams that haven't been said yet.
Ahead.
I had a hard time with it, and I don't know if it's my final answer, honestly. But I penciled in Wisconsin above Kansas as a number 12. They had another road win yesterday. It wasn't a tournament level road win, but it was a quad one. And I don't know. Their performance stuff is pretty good at Wisconsin, so I feel like the committee might like them to squeeze into the three. But I could definitely be wrong.
We did not have them as a three seed here, and in fact,
Yeah.
they were not even our next team up. That
Okay.
team was a team that had a hell of a win yesterday. How about the
Yeah.
Red
I like
Raiders
it.
on the four line here, Matt? What do you think?
That's right where they belong now with the recent damage they've done. They have climbed their way up the bracket here, and I ran out of my four line as well. This is, yeah, well deserved. I think the resume caught up to the metrics where they've played like a top 15 team all year. Now the resume has shown up like a top 15 team.
Yeah, and I would argue, Griggs, that I don't know that anyone in the entire season is going to have a better win than what they had, that win at Houston, down your best player and down your head coach.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably one of the more improbable wins. I mean, even had they had their best player and head coach, I don't think the win would have been any less impressive. Yeah, that's I can't think of another one that's as good as that. Like Auburn and Alabama might, if they go for the road win exchange program, those two would be
Yeah.
better than that one. But that's the best one that's the best singular win that any team has managed this season, I think.
Mike, the Oregon Ducks are on our
Oof.
four line, number 15 overall. Now, once again, This was all voted on before this game that we were watching. That looks like Nebraska is about to knock them off and give them another home loss. So let me pull them up here on the left and maybe ask you also, how far do you think they fall now if you throw in what will end up being a tier two, I believe it'll be a tier two loss to Nebraska at home.
Yeah, I actually had him rated at 15th overall, but it looks like I would switch. I would have other teams rated ahead of them now, with the likely loss to Nebraska at home. They're just I mean, they have a lot of good wins, but they have a lot of they're lately they're kind of struggling, and they're kind of schizophrenic, to be honest with you. So I think right now, if I could edit, I would have them knocking down a little bit to the five line.
Yeah, well, Tytel, what do you think? How far do the Ducks fall? Assuming, I mean, it looks like this score is going to hold up. It's about 10 seconds left in the game.
I think five line sounds good to me. You can't take away their win over Alabama, which is aging very well. I also think they're the first team in our field that's been swept by a team this year, as they lost two games to the Bruins already. Obviously, no shame in losing most of their games, but this team was 15-2 3 weeks ago. They're soon to be, I fear, 16-4.
16-6.
Thank you.
16-6. Wow. Yeah. Going in the wrong direction.
Also,
Number 16. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I had a quick thought on Oregon's resume. You had it pulled up. Their three biggest wins away from home, well, at least two of the three, your Alabama, your Texas A&M, and the San Diego State wins, those were all money incentive wins. So they're not very good when money's not on the line.
So they need to be paid to beat Nebraska. That's what
That's
you're saying.
exactly how their football program works, Chad. And they're doing it in Jacksonville.
Griggs, Rocco championed Wisconsin earlier. They did make our last protected seed, although you would have had them about five seed lines lower or something ridiculous. I think you had them somewhere in the late
I
high
figured
20s.
yeah, I mean
I penciled them in as a 12, but like sorry, Griggs, I'll be right with you. I just realized Kentucky was the one that I was much lower on.
Okay.
That home loss to Arkansas plummeted their resume quite a bit, more than I actually thought. And again, I know they have six great wins, and they have the name Kentucky. So they're probably still a protected seed, but them being a three seed doesn't feel right now to me.
Okay.
Griggs.
You were asking about Wisconsin. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. What about
Well, okay.
Wisconsin?
They,
Why? What do you
they,
hate about them?
well, okay. Let's look at that win against Arizona, which was at home. Arizona is great. They've won 10 of their last 11. At the time Whiskey beat them, they were not playing well, and the committee looks at that. Ohio State, another home win, may get selected, may not, but they're not going to be selected until they're not getting a single digit seed, I don't think. Pitt probably isn't. Northwestern isn't. USC isn't. And I guess my question is,
Oh, hold on. I think you got to go down to Nebraska and UCF where they beat also, because I think we'll be discussing both those
okay,
teams
and
now
you're going to
tonight.
give them a protected seed because they beat Nebraska at home? I mean, Nebraska's awful away from home. They just haven't done anything. That comes within five, four or five lines of anybody that we've put in the protected seed range. Maybe not four or five lines, but like they're nowhere close to anybody else that we've looked at least when you look at their paper. Like what have they done? What do you like
Yeah.
about them?
I think road wins at Northwestern and USC and Rutgers mean something. It's not like they mean the same as winning at a tournament level team. I agree with that. But they've been very dominant in a lot of their performances. So if they're going to be a protected seed, there's an angle there to move them up based on their performance levels. But
Okay, should have a protected seed had won at UCLA, beaten Michigan at home, or won at Mar I mean, they haven't beaten anybody that a protected seed would have beaten, that any of the other protected seeds have beaten, Rocco.
Yeah, I'm understanding that side of it too. It's not it's it's kind of why I'm not exactly sold on them. But to Matt's point, the wins above bubble is a good indicator, because the thing that the quads doesn't catch very well is those in between games, like quad one, quad two, quad 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B, and all those games are actually a little harder than they might show up here, and that matters. I mean, it's saying that everybody except for 11 teams would not be as good as Wisconsin against the same schedule.
And if you
Yeah, but we
look,
think 11 teams are better than Michigan, and they beat Wisconsin in Wisconsin.
yep, they did.
So.
It's a body of work conversation, so it's
Yeah.
difficult because you're always going to have one-offs and two-offs to
Yeah,
pick
but this
apart.
is a mini offs.
Let's go ahead
I
and
tend to agree with you too, so I'm not going to
yeah.
die on the sword on this one.
Let's
Okay.
go ahead and
Well,
pull
they're
up.
there. That's where we put them. So, I mean, I'm the one that's the outlier here. So, like, but
Yes.
if you
Yeah.
asked why, that's why.
Let's pull up our five seeds. And Matt, let me go back to you as I pull up all four of these five seeds. We've got Missouri, Ole Miss, Illinois, and Arizona on the five line. Again, we're going to do four teams at a time right now. Your thoughts on any or all of these?
I suppose I think I had Arizona as a four, so instead of Oregon, which we had most to do now in that, but then in that I think I had Ole Miss and Missouri both on the five line. Missouri, I took a close look. I would have loved to got them into the protected seed range, but I still haven't done quite enough just yet. And then I think I had Illinois as my top six, but then they scream playing in a 5-12 game, and then we're gonna all pick at the 12 seed, and then they win by 30. Or like, oh, hey, Illinois can get together, then they lose in the 5-12 game.
Yeah, and here's I pulled out the Missouri profile on the left there. Also going to pull up Ole Miss, who's on this line here on the right, Tytel. Missouri, hell of a road win yesterday at Mississippi State, but I pull Ole Miss up also as well, just to note that they would have been the very top of our five lines. So had Oregon been down a line, Ole Miss would have been our protected seed.
Yes, I think these are coin flip teams. Missouri, a bit of a home court hero, 15-0 at home. But I think that they both belong around here, and I only wish they would play each other more. It looks like Ole Miss lost to them last week, so that's why I would give the edge to Missouri.
Fair
Those are
enough.
both, yeah, those are both really good teams.
Yeah, I think we have a very strong five line here,
Yeah.
actually. I mean, I don't want to be Kansas having to play Arizona in the second round.
Well, if I'm filling out the bracket, I'm picking Arizona to win that one.
If I'm a 12 seed, I'm hoping to get a 13.
Yeah, really. Let's go to the sixth line here. Rocco, our six seeds here. We had Michigan, Louisville, Mississippi State, and Memphis. Your thoughts on any or all of those picks here by our group?
Yeah, quickly on Memphis, Michigan, very solid, very good there. The other two very extreme, I think. Mississippi State's interesting. Like, we'll see how far they fall. Obviously, their performance numbers tanked, getting crushed at home by Mizzou. And I think Louisville losing at Georgia Tech. I had Louisville as a six last week. Losing at Georgia Tech is going to hurt a lot because there were teams between 22 and 29 on my seed list. Louisville was in that range. That were all very tough to separate on Friday. Louisville made that easy by losing. I could see them falling all the way to an eight seed.
Yeah, Matt, you had Louisville rated the lowest of any of us. I think you'd probably be with Rocco there and not wanting
Yeah,
them up this high.
that loss to Georgia Tech, like that's what it might qualify as tier two, but that feels worse than that. That was a bad loss for and that and that's one where they got some decent stuff at the top of their profile, but it ain't so strong to wear. A Georgia Tech loss outweighed a lot of their good to me, and that knocked them way down. Because I said, I think it is fairly close in this range. And a lot of teams in this range outside of, well, Mississippi State have been playing well recently and picked up some nice wins. In that are like St. John's, where they haven't done anything great individually, but on the cumulative have done very nice. So that's where I would have, well, I had both these teams well down, but especially Louisville.
Yeah,
Yeah, if you're going to
I would just
St.
throw this
John's,
out there
yeah.
real quick on the Georgia Tech loss. That would have been tier three, except for Georgia Tech by beating Louisville, got themselves up into tier two just barely.
Well, it'll probably land in tier three. One of the things,
They're
if you're
getting
going to
better.
have a bad game, and Louisville did, you would hope it would be against a team like Georgia Tech because you're probably going to beat them anyway, but they didn't. Wow.
That's a tough one. Yeah, and I agree with Matt on St. John's. St. John's to me feels like a solid six. Like they are looking for more big marquee wins, but they've been just so solid and consistent.
I
Kind
think
of hard
those are
to punish.
coming. I really do.
And it's just hard to punish a team that's winning so often to put them in a
Yeah.
7-10 game.
Well, Rocco, look at their next two or, well, their next three, really, or four. Like, if they win three of
Yeah.
those, yeah, it's gonna, they're gonna shoot. I
And I
think they're
think they
gonna shoot up
will.
the seed list. Yeah. And
I
they're good
think they
enough to win
will.
three of those. They could
Yeah.
win all of them. The Johnnies are good.
They're tough.
Yeah. And that's one of the biggest discrepancies maybe between the top 25 polls and what we're doing here. We've got 24 teams already, and we don't have the team that's number 14 in the coaches poll in our field. Mike, your Wolverines, I pulled up on the right there. They were on this line that we just did. Any thoughts on them? They've picked up back-to-back wins finally here. Maybe
Yeah,
things are
that
going
that
better.
that yeah that win against Rutgers is big because it's tough to win there. And plus, when you look at ahead to Michigan's remaining schedule, it's really rough. Like all but two of their games are in tier one. So that any win they get going forward is going to be well earned. But right now, they're a solid 16. They've done enough good. They got road wins at Wisconsin, at UCLA, at USC. But it could be rough sliding for them going ahead just because it's really tough.
Let's go to the 7 line. Tytel, St. John's is on this line here. There they are playing Florida in the second round. We also have UCLA, Maryland, and Clemson in here.
Clemson is intriguing only because, one, they've been winning a lot of games recently. Two, besides the win over Kentucky, it's been a lot of like bottom tier ACC teams and then some random non-conference stuff like Penn State and San Francisco. So I want to get excited about Clemson because they keep winning, but it's hard to because, as you can see, not a ton of tier one.
Yeah, it's they're not lifting the heavy weights, they're lifting the middle weights, but they're not dropping any of them either. I'm kind of with you,
No flash,
Tytel,
no
on
trash.
Clemson. Yeah, and when you look at their, I mean, they do have Duke coming up at home. That's going to be a big showcase, but I don't think they're good. If they win that one, it would change my opinion. But say they lose that one and win all the rest. Does it scream that they should be any all that much higher if they do all that than where they are right now? Because none of those teams are really tournament teams other than Duke.
But a 25-win Clemson team would impress me.
Yeah. But I
It's a
think, I mean,
crap.
I could see them doing that. I really could.
It's a crappy situation. Louisville's in the same boat too. Their schedule down the stretch is all against really nothing to gain, everything to lose type of matchups. And Clemson in the similar situation. I think it's crappy because these ACC programs are still ACC programs with talented players, even though their net says they're not that great. They're very capable of losing these games, and in actual basketball, it's not like a surprising loss, but it would just plummet them, either
Yeah,
one of them.
like it's not going to be easy to go to Florida State and SMU. I mean, those they should win those.
Especially SMU, yeah, but yeah,
Yeah,
SMU's got to prove it themselves, but yeah, they're good, very good.
Let me bring up one other team that came in this line, though. I would have had UCLA a lot higher than any of you, and I just think that Rocco, this team is just looking so good the past couple weeks here. Five game winning streak. They have the wins over Arizona, Gonzaga, at Oregon, Wisconsin, all the teams we've had ahead of them.
No, I'm with you, Chad. I moved them up to a 7 on Friday. I don't know that they played this weekend. I'm
No.
good with where you got them here. And yes, upside for a 6 for sure. I would also just say on the overall 7 seed line, Chad, assuming we're in agreement on UCLA,
Yeah.
I think with St. Mary's win over Gonzaga last night, that's clearly a team better than Clemson.
I think so. I agree with you also. And St. Mary's was,
They're tempting to put up even higher, but
they were our
seven.
very very top 8 seed. I will pull up that 8 line. There they are, a potential Alabama game. But along with Creighton, Baylor, and UConn, Matt, your thoughts on those four teams coming here? A couple Big East teams on this line.
That's where UConn played their way up with a very nice one, unfortunately, against my guys. A little regression to the mean for the positive for UConn, to where Marquette could have hit an open shot, and they hit all theirs, man. 12 and 19 from three. That's one of those. Even if you turn it over 25 times, you hit 12 and 19 from three, that could cancel that out.
Yeah, and I'll pull up that St. Mary's profile here on the left. Touch out, what about the St. Mary's team? They do have, they really haven't beaten anybody in our field. Gonzaga's not in our field yet, by the way, so they have not beat anybody that's in our field yet, but they've got a lot of wins. 20 wins already.
It's similar to Clemson in terms of stacking up wins with not a lot of tier one. Beating Gonzaga home or away impresses the heck out of me even this year. I've had the Zags ranked ahead of the Gales all season, but I agree this is the day to flip them because of the head-to-head. And I don't know if they can beat them on the road, but again, if they go like 27-4, I think that's certainly I think we have them right where they belong.
And when you look at some of those opportunities at San Francisco, at Oregon State, at Gonzaga, I mean, those are teams that are tough to beat on the road. And if they can do it, then I think that they're going to shoot up the seed list.
Mike, I pulled up Creighton there, who came in on the seed line also. They're on the right. How about this 7-game winning streak? They're one of the hotter teams in the nation right now.
Yeah, and that's why I have them in the eight line, whereas a week ago I wouldn't have done that. So there's something to be said about being hot, and this is we're approaching the time where this is when you want to get hot.
Yeah, and they've got some interesting games ahead. They got Marquette and UConn both at home coming up the next couple of weeks here. So this
Yeah.
team could really put together a heck of a winning streak and get some key wins here also. Let's take a look at the nine line. We see some potential first round matchups popping up here as well. Titel, Creighton is going to get, there's the Zags. Baylor, Oklahoma, a little old school Big 12 action. St. Mary's gets West Virginia and UConn gets Utah State.
I like St. Mary's chances if Tucker DeVries is still hurt for the Mountaineers. As much as I love Utah State, I think Liam McNeely is supposed to finally play again this week. And as much as I like Jerrod Calhoun, I don't think that he can outcoach Danny Hurley on the East Coast. And like Auburn's chances against the 8-9 winner.
Yeah, let's take a little deeper into a couple of these teams here. Matt, let me go back to you here. I want to pull up both Utah State as well as Gonzaga, two West Coast teams that made this line. Utah State got that loss, and I know it was New Mexico at home, but it
Huge.
seemed to really make that gaudy record kind of disappear a little bit, I thought. And the
Look.
Zags, on the other hand, great metrics, but where are the wins?
Well, that's the one where Baylor we just put in, and then at San Diego State, who I think is pretty close to being mentioned. And that's where it's like not real heavy, but what they've done is just enough for now. And like with all the metrics, like I like having right here as a 9 seed to where they're in the field, they're fairly safely in the field, but need to get a few more tier one and tier two wins as season goes out to creep up the bracket a couple of seed lines to where maybe meet their metrics a little closer. But for now, I think a 9 seed is good for them. And Utah State, like, man, like it's not like it's a home loss. I mean, New Mexico is a good team. Actually, I would have had New Mexico ahead of Utah State because of that head to head, but like not just a home loss, but a 19-point home loss. That's to a team that's a solid, good team, but not like any team in the field should not be losing at home tonight by 19 points.
Fair enough. Let's take a look at the 10 seeds here. Rocco, UCLA gets Texas, St. John's gets Vanderbilt, Maryland gets New Mexico, and Clemson, there's San Diego State, a couple of Mountain West teams on this line.
Yeah, kudos to the Lobos taking control of the Mountain West race. With the big win over Utah State yesterday. That was very impressive. Really like that team. San Diego State keeps winning by the skin of their teeth. I think it was a 2-point win over Wyoming yesterday when could have been a loss again against a bad team. But yeah, they're getting by a young Aztecs group finding a way. And then sorry, who can you go back to the bracket there?
Oh, sure. The other two were Texas and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, so Texas is fine where they are. They got another they passed the test this time or this past weekend. But Vanderbilt losing by 30 to Oklahoma, their big wins are both at home with Tennessee and Kentucky. I think Vanderbilt's gonna be yeah, it's gonna be a late night tonight for me on the bubble, and I think Vanderbilt's one of those teams that we're gonna go under the hood pretty big. I love the team. We've talked good about them on most of these shows. But that was a big red flag getting blasted like that. That was a game they led by 4 at halftime and got outscored by 34 in the second half. And obviously, it's going to plummet their power numbers, which isn't as important for selection. I have a feeling Vanderbilt's going to squeeze in, but they might be Dayton bound.
Yeah, well, we're getting close to Dayton here at the 10
Yeah.
line. I do want to throw out that you mentioned that San Diego State win of Wyoming. If you didn't get a chance to watch the final few minutes of this game, it was amazing. San Diego State was down 9, went on a 20-0 run to take an 11-point lead with 15
Crazy.
seconds left, and proceeded to allow Wyoming to cut it to one under those in that last 15 seconds. It was absolutely crazy. And the Aztecs almost blew an 11-point lead with 15 seconds left, which would be historic, honestly,
Yeah,
with the
I
Titans.
turned it off with about 15 seconds to go because they had an 11-point lead with 15 seconds
It
to
got
go.
cut to one, Griggs. It got cut to
Yeah,
one.
that is insane.
Matt, starting off our 11 line, two of the 11 seeds, we see the Georgia Bulldogs, one of the teams of our blind resume, as well as UC Irvine, our auto bid winner out of the Big West, who actually was sandwiched within our first four when the bracketing came out.
A heck of a
Thoughts
football matchup
on those
there.
two teams? Yeah, Michigan, Georgia. How about
Yeah.
that?
Hey. Well, I think Georgia, this is right where Georgia just inside of Dayton. It's exactly where they belong. I had Irvine pretty close here too. I would have actually had another under the radar team, Drake, around this spot also. And that I still Drake had that one bad week in that, and they haven't lost otherwise, and have a win over Vanderbilt and a pretty solid overall profile of. Even with those two losses.
Well, let's pull them both up
Hey,
for a quick.
and they beat Kansas State, who looks a lot better this morning than they did yesterday.
Yep. And I'll pull them up for one second here. Actually, UC Irvine and Drake were back to back in our fields, both sandwiched within the first four. Irvine's slightly ahead, and it's going to end up with Drake dropping down to the 12 line because of the way the bracketing rules work. But both these teams, Griggs, I think if either one of them loses their conference tournament, there's an argument here.
There's a big argument. We have them, well, as you said, sandwiched in the first four right now. Nine true road wins. I think that's the most that anybody has in 12 away from home. I mean, if you look at that profile, that's insane. I'm talking about UC Irvine. Drake was also pretty good. They beat Vanderbilt on a neutral floor in that tournament. I know that that's where their resume tops out, and that's going to be something that they hold on to. But the win at Bradley, although Bradley's crashing, is pretty good as well. And when you look at both of these teams, winning out won't be easy, but they're both good enough to do it. And if they do it, I think they got to go in.
Let's take a look at our first four matchups. The first of them in the Midwest region, Mississippi State gets the winner of an Ohio State UCF thing game. I know, Rocco, you're with me in strongly disagreeing that Ohio State belongs in this field anymore.
Correct. Yeah, gone. See ya. Bye. 7-9 in meaningful games. I love the wins. I put them in. I held my nose and put them in on Friday because I do think if you're one game under 500, there's a case to be made. We saw it come up a bunch of times last year, and you have to have extraordinary wins to be able to do it, and they do with Kentucky and Purdue on the road. But Kentucky lost at home this week. They're now 7-9. It's very easy to leave the Buckeyes out.
I'll just note here, I was the lowest on Ohio State of any of us. So I was with you here. But Mike, any thoughts on Ohio State or UCF in the field?
That's about where I had him. I had him toward the
Okay.
bottom.
Okay.
Let's see, 44. I actually had
Well,
Ohio State a lot higher, but I mean, I don't have any problems with them being right there at the very bubble near the cut line. Ohio State, I just noticed that they're only 7-9 against the top three.
yeah, that's what, yeah.
Yeah,
That's
that's
what
a red
it,
flag for sure. But there's still time. But right now, they're at the cut line.
yeah. Well, Matt, what about UCF? I mean, just barely making the field here.
Yeah, they're heading the wrong direction, but they have just enough runway. I select them there right toward my last team. I didn't love selecting them, but hey, we gotta take 37 of these guys, and that's a put. I'd much rather be say a UC Irvine or Jake who lost in the conference tournament. We could just leave them at home completely, but. In this scenario, we gotta take 37, and that's right where between 34 and 37 of the at-large bid, that's where UCF is.
Tytel, our last two teams, Memphis's opponent in the first round, is a winner of a game between Pitt and BYU. The BYU, the other blind resume team from the start of the show.
I think I'm picking BYU. Remind me, Chad, would this game be on a certain day of the week or not?
As you can see, we got
Yeah.
them in a Thursday, Saturday bracket across because BYU cannot play on Sundays. Actually worked out fairly easy in the bracketing. Luckily, that Wichita spot was open. It was nice and easy. But I guess the question here is, Rocco, how about Pitt and BYU? Maybe another two teams that are going in opposite directions here. One BYU up, Pitt down right now.
Yeah, Pitt Again, another one of those teams like Vandy going under the hood later tonight. My gut says they'll hang on like the group has. So I can live with that. BYU, I think, is going to sneak their way in. They're just good enough. They've got the road UCF. They needed a road tournament level team. It's about as close as you can get to the cutoff with UCF, but they needed it. They got it. And then I would say, with that Ohio State subject and Nebraska getting to 8-8 in meaningful games tonight with a big road win at Oregon, I think it's pretty easy to put Nebraska in. So that might be able to save some sweat.
Yeah, let me throw this Nebraska profile up here, and we'll do a little magic here as I throw it up here. And if this works right, we should suddenly see that Oregon win populate onto their. There it is, populate
Yeah.
onto the
All
profile.
right.
And here we
And
go.
that
So,
changes the complexion of their profile. I think that they're clearly better than Pitt and probably Ohio State in a lot of that Oregon win was big.
it's their best road win of the season. It's
That
probably
was
second best
huge.
overall.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean they might be able to I think they'll probably still be in Dayton, but Nebraska might be good enough to be above Dayton with where they're at now.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at our top teams out again. All its voting happened before Nebraska got this win, so that's why Nebraska, I don't believe Nebraska even made our top four teams out. Matt, our top team four teams out were actually were Wake Forest, Arizona State, North Carolina, and Xavier, and all teams with tons of warts.
That's where I was happy at least to this was my exact at-large field, although now I think, yeah, Nebraska, that may be a good replacement for Ohio State too. There you go. Easy swap out for conference. And that these other ones, Matt, like I had Xavier as my last team out in their top team out, and like even that, like I didn't love having to do it, but like I said, we had to find spots for 37 teams, and they were number 38 on my board of the at-large contenders.
Yeah, there they are. They're 6-9 against the top three tiers. That's even worse than Ohio State, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where, like I said, they tap out kind of well, and then yeah, at Marquette, UConn thinks pretty close will be end up being a tier one win, but yeah, then they're gonna add to it, and like luckily they have the perfect schedule to where a whole bunch of Q2s and Q3s, which they could use another top, so they could really use that win at Villanova to add to Q1 and hope UConn there. You have three Q1 wins, you'd probably be pretty good. Accumulate the Q2 and Q3s to get that 6-9 to something more like 12-10. And there you go.
Tytel, I got Wake Forest up there on the right. This was actually was our closest miss. This team just missed by a few points, being over BYU for the final spot. How about the Demon Deacons? They got a lot of wins at least.
I always defer to you on Wake Shed. You've been driving the bandwagon. My biggest concern is the resume metrics are decent. Predictive metrics are not. It seems like somebody thinks Wake is going to start losing in February. Do you agree?
Well, they started February with a nice home win over Pitt, who we just put in barely above them. The loss at Louisville, the way they got clobbered at Louisville, really did leave me with a sour taste in my stomach, though, for my mouth for them. But I guess Rocco, how close are the Demon Deacons?
Yeah, they're right there. I think you could take them right now if you wanted to. You don't have to though. That's why
If you want
it's
to
fun.
leave Pitt and Ohio
That's why
State
it's
out, let's.
fun. Well, there's certain criteria, like just guessing the committee, right? I have a good hunch that the committee won't take a 7-9 in meaningful games Ohio State team. So there's a criteria saying they're out. But with a Wake team, there's no like definitive yes or no for their profile. Even further down the board, SMU keeps beating up on everybody that it's not a tournament team and they can't beat a tournament team. But it's like, you would still take them above an Ohio State because they don't have a clear cut, can't take them situation with their paper. So it's really difficult. But I think Bubba Cunningham's the chairman this year. He'll be taking people out to lunch. And I think if we were in this exact situation, the rest of the committee members might feel a little guilty if they don't put one of these ACC teams in between these two. But they're going to get Pittsburgh, so I think it's fine. But it's just very, very mushy. And like we talked about with Clemson, it's like this for most of these teams. They don't have a lot of opportunities to go. The pressure to win is high, and they're all going to need, like Tytel said, 24, 25 wins. And easier said than done. I think it'll play itself out, but it's just really hard right now to make those clear decisions.
Take a quick look at another 10 more teams that did get votes at least. None of these to be like in the top 55. Nebraska, SMU, we just mentioned. Also, again, not even to be in, but maybe be close to the field. We saw some love for Indiana, USC, Arkansas, George Mason, UC San Diego, North Texas, Iowa, and Bradley. And Grace, I think I want for one of these profiles here, because even though they're only 2-6 in conference, after what they did at Kentucky, is Arkansas back, on our radar again?
On the radar, yeah.
Yeah.
In the field, no. What I
Well, what
do think,
really, because in your bracket you had them in the field.
yeah,
That's
like I
why I'm calling you out on this.
yeah, but
He loved that home loss to Oklahoma.
yeah. I mean, the win at Kentucky is really solid. The neutral floor win against Michigan, I think they need to do more. I guess the question is, are they good enough now? Are they better now than they were, up until a week or two ago? The opportunities are certainly there, given that the conference that they play. We've seen Calipari teams in the past sort of it takes them a while to kick it in the gear. They normally do it right around Christmas break. Is Arkansas kicking it in the gear? Because all things aside, that was an impressive performance. They absolutely looked like a tournament team at Kentucky. Now, one good day at the office isn't enough, but are they good enough to have enough good days to where they will be inside the? But I didn't think I had them. I knew I had them. I thought I had them in the low 40s
You had the
or something.
45 overall, which would have been in
Okay.
the field, Grace. Maybe in Dayton, probably would have been Dayton, but that would have been in the field.
Okay, yeah, because I didn't think, so they were, I guess I did have them in, but I would like to think that that's more of a statement as to how weak the bubble is than how good I think Arkansas is. Yeah, not it. They weren't in on my first ballot.
And one more team on that list, I would have been championing North Texas. Horrible loss, home loss to UTSA over this week, and that
Yeah.
just, I think, torpedoed that profile.
Oh, geez, yeah.
And the other thing about Nebraska is you just can't take a team that made such an awful administrative decision as to get rid of Tim Miles.
Okay. I'm gonna quickly go through the rest of these teams. First of all, you can check out our Under the Radar show Wednesday night for a lot more about the rest of the field here. But the 12 seeds, real quick: Missouri gets McNeese, Ole Miss gets
Oof.
the J dangerous Drake team that we already discussed. Illinois gets Arkansas State. Arizona gets VCU. Tytel, you're cheering that. Well, why? I think that's a dangerous game for you, honestly.
After our problems with the Ivy League, I was terrified we were going to get Yale. I'll take VCU. I know Matt's thoughts in the A10 should remain silent, though.
I would rather play the teams on the 11 line minus UC Irvine.
The 13 seeds here. Wisconsin gets Samford, Buckyball. Texas Tech gets Middle Tennessee. Oregon gets Yale. There we go. And Kansas gets the Lopes. Rocco, you saw them last night. Impressive over Utah Valley. You,
Yeah,
they're
Rocco
getting
was throwing
vegetables
apples
thrown at
onto
you.
the court.
That was a heck of an experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Grand Canyon is a very dangerous team, as you guys probably know. That starting five is legit. They were actually like a bunch of dudes. I got to the bottom of it that didn't really like each other at the start of the year. They had a kumbaya after the Utah Valley first loss. They look way more connected. If they can play like they did last night, they can do what they did last year. If you remember, they crippled an always well-prepared St. Mary's team in that first round and almost beat Alabama, who went to the Final Four.
The 14 seeds, Kentucky gets Northern Colorado, Michigan State gets Akron, Marquette versus High Point, and A&M versus Lipscomb. On the 15 line, we got Houston getting Central Connecticut, Florida gets UNC Wilmington, Iowa State, Cleveland State, Purdue gets Norfolk State. And last but not least, the 16 line,
Oh,
Auburn
that
gets
is the
Southern.
least, Chad.
Last and least,
Yes. Yeah.
Auburn gets Southern. Duke gets the winner of a Bryant-Morehead State game. Alabama gets the winner of an Omaha American game. There's Marist playing, taking on Tennessee. Marist with the I just love pulling up this Marist
Yeah, this
profile.
is, I mean, let's dissect this. Rocco, you got to admit, they have a better record in tier one, two, and three than Ohio State does. Isn't that true?
They're at 500.
Yeah.
They have not played a game out of quad four all season. I mean, this takes talent to schedule like this. I got to give John Dunn so many
And
props.
money.
Oh,
It takes
geez.
money too.
Yeah,
because they don't have
oh
to take
man,
buy money. They don't have to take buy money.
it would have been
364
better if the
non-conference strength of schedule. Jeez.
in
They, yeah.
364 overall. No, this is the weakest skit. Well, they actually have played a team in the top one or top 200, Quinnipiac.
Yeah,
Okay.
they're the conference game they just played.
Oh.
They played, and we've got that.
They
I
only
don't
played
like.
one.
Yeah.
I don't like that game February 16th at Merrimack. That's going to be a quad three game. It's going to ruin it. But
Yeah.
let's go here. I'm
All
going to
right.
bring the bracket one more time. I want to through each of you for any of their final thoughts on what we did tonight or anything else you want to discuss. Matt, let me start with you.
Well, I would say this year had been fairly safe. The top teams looked like that. And then yesterday, chaos. 11 top 25 teams losing, and a whole bunch of them at home, to where that shook up our bracket a little bit. And now everything feels kind of hazy for right about 7 to 13 in that. And now it's time for, if you lost, pull a couple again. You maybe pull yourself back up, or you lose a couple, you might fade. But yeah, it's definitely. Everything feels a little closer now outside about the top three, and then say like four through six was fairly consensus. And after that, it's your race to March to secure your spot, where Marquette, you would finish up strong, face say 17-3 in the Big East, you'll get your two seed back. You don't do that, you can still plummet maybe down to a four or five.
Absolutely. Tytel.
I wanted to focus on the 4-5 Kansas Arizona game because they face each other for the first time in regular season play in the finale on March 8th. They could easily face each other again a week later in the SEC tourney in a 3-6 game, and then again in the NCAA tourney, 3 games in 3 weeks. Chad, is that even possible? Is my first question.
It's not.
I actually, it's not. If the two teams do get another matchup against each other in the Big 12 tournament, that would become an illegal game in the second round. So that would not happen.
Just
But right
checking.
now,
And
it is legal.
sure. And of course, if the Jayhawks get upset, we get the Arizona GCU in-state rivalry game, which would be fantastic. And then, of course, my bigger non-bracket thought, big weekend for Chad next weekend. We're all wishing him the best of luck as his boys try to dethrone the two-time defending champion Chiefs.
Yes, let's
No.
I'll spare the rest of you. Mike, let me go to you.
That's
Yeah,
terrible.
that's as Matt was
Like,
alluding to,
it's an
you know,
assault on the eardrum. Jesus. Anyway, sorry, Mike.
that's okay. Yeah, I feel like especially for my Michigan team, but I'm for several other teams as well. You know, it seems like going forward, every game's going to feel like a playoff game. And you know, even if the teams in the Big Ten and SEC and Big 12, they may not pick up any quote unquote bad losses, but you still got to get some wins once in a while to make it into the tournament. So I'm just really excited, looking forward to the rest of the season, and only 6 weeks till Selection Sunday, if my math is correct.
Yes, it is getting closer and closer. Rocco.
Yeah, well, kind of like what Matt said about the carnage from over the weekend. It's a highly volatile situation in many parts of the seeding process. So, thanks for all the extra work you're giving guys like me and John, because things got a little muddier. But it makes it more exciting. It's a very unpredictable sport. That's why we love it. I think the volatility too. From now on, you know, Mike just said 6 more weeks. It's different than usual. Like, we still have the basic volatility of league play and teams gelling and all that. But I think with the NIL stuff, you know, we saw what happened at Miami. I think we'll see that with a few more teams in the bigger leagues. Like, you know, one night they might not even care at all. Cincinnati looked absolutely terrible today. But then, you know, what games are those types of teams going to show up for? You know, what guys are getting their money, what guys are not getting their money. There's so much going on in this, you know, these last couple of years of college basketball that we didn't have to really factor in. And now it is a factor at certain places. So, and yeah, so I do think the unpredictability is going to continue. That's my larger thought there. And my last thought is, it is Groundhog Day. Happy Groundhog Day. And if we have to live this day 100 more days in a row, I'll be glad that we have a Hoops HD podcast to look forward to every day.
I don't know if I could do a podcast with Griggs every day for the next 100 days in a row, though. That's Griggs, you want to finish off the show?
Yeah, so it seems like while we are in a bit of a different world, it seems like it's there's one of those teams, call them the February surprise, I guess. Somebody that's not on the board, not really, or if they are on the board or in the field, they're down in the double digits or on the bubble, that kind of comes storming down the stretch out of nowhere. It's normally from a power conference. It almost has to be, because those are the only conferences that would allow the teams the kinds of wins they need to get inside. I mean, and we saw Arkansas, they've started to string together some wins. Can they keep it up? But there's another team that, if they do it, and I'm not saying they will, but if they do, I don't think anybody will have ever come from this far out of the picture to go on a run like this. Kansas State has won three in a row. They just won at Iowa State, which is a, if not the most impressive singular win that anyone has of the year, it's definitely probably in the top 10 or 15. And they look pretty good. They blew Oklahoma State off the court, and I don't know what the hell happened. But about a week or two ago, it's like a switch flipped. I don't know if they'll make it all the way in. I don't know if Arkansas will either. But would that not be one of the more incredible regular season runs and turnarounds if K-State were to do it? Because you suddenly look at what they have left, and you see games that are opportunities, but they're not so far above their head that if they play the way they played the last three games, that they can't win them.
Good
I'd
point.
also throw out there that Minnesota picked up three straight really nice wins and then got their asses kicked the next two times out.
And
So.
that could easily happen. I mean, you know, I got kind of excited. I really sat up and took notice of UNLV when they had a really good week, and they're not going anywhere. But K-State, that would be amazing. Like, to have a losing record coming into February and then somehow land inside the bubble.
Yeah, Griggs, I was actually talking today with some other college basketball people about Kansas State. To me, they feel if there's going to be an NC State again this year, where they just come out of nowhere to win the conference tournament, because the talent is so good at Kansas State, that I think that might be a really good candidate to just steal a bid out of nowhere from a big conference.
Yeah, and it happens every year. Somebody does it.
Well,
Who's
on
going
that
to you?
note, let's go ahead and pull this down here. And I do want to take this chance to thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow night with the Hoops HD report, Wednesday night with Under the Radar, and next Sunday late night after the Super Bowl, we will be. We'll have to call say that word. I think we have to call it the big game or something. But whatever we have to call it, the big after the big game next Sunday, we will be sometime probably doing a podcast, depending on what happens. But on behalf of David Griggs, Matt Sikowski, Mike Cha, John Tytel, and Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.